Okay, so I'd like to start the meeting at this time. We'll begin with our roll call and introductions. Let's see, it looks like Rob Manley will be a little bit late here. Sarah Fox.
What is the introductions part?
Oh, okay.
Wasn't sure that was new, so.
No, we've always had that.
It's
always said that. And like, usually sometimes I'll call out names so I can hear your voice so that we know that the commission is here. But why don't we just go around like we've been doing and introduce ourselves, and I get both. I can get you guys on, you know, the recording and get everyone else. No problem.
Sarah Fox. There you go.
Yeah, I understand.
Sean Kay.
Robert Hines.
Brian Monroe, City of Vancouver.
John Wagner, City of Vancouver.
Jackie Camp, Clark County.
Jen Bader, City of Vancouver.
Brenda Sutton.
Dean Urban.
Mark Dodd.
Okay. Welcome. We have a pretty full agenda tonight, so we'll move right into it, and hopefully Rob will be along shortly. Before we do, I'd like to ask the commissioners to take a look at the commission minutes if they haven't already, and when ready, I'll entertain a motion to approve or any comments that need to be made.
Any comments? I'll move to approve the minutes.
We have two public hearings this evening, and before I get started, Dean, I'd like to apologize. I understand you had the tour scheduled for last night, and nobody showed up, and so
it's okay.
Jackie was telling me about that, and I was predisposed. Unfortunately, I've been working some long hours these last couple of weeks, but I assume that by not RSVPing, the word would get back, and
we'll make sure. We sent us an email to the whole commission. Alex let Brian know that he wasn't going to be there. So next time I'll make it more clear. I'll have everyone get back to me and Brian, or me and John, on whether or not you can make it or not. So if we've got enough people that can't make it, we'll try a different date time. So
yeah.
We'll try a different way next time and see if that works better. But we do apologize for not making it. Brian said it was a really cool building, and
I guess that's the way. The awesome thing about it is those buildings aren't going anywhere.
That's true. We'll have to do it again.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, we
do appreciate you making it available for a site visit. I'm sure and apologize for any inconvenience last night.
No, Brian was there, and so he probably could report on what he saw. But anytime you want to do it, you're welcome.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Sure.
Okay, so the first nomination that we need to take a look at is the Sparks Engelman Building. So I will ask the commissioners present if they have any ex parte contacts or conflicts of interest with respect to this nomination.
I do not.
Okay. There are no conflicts of interest. So let's open the public hearing. And let's see. John, would you like to present the staff report?
It's Brian.
Or Brian.
I would, but I'm going to quit.
Good evening. Tonight we're looking at the Sparks Engelman Building located at 605 and 607 Main Street. We've looked at this as at a workshop on your last meeting. And let's see, the building was built in about 1903. And it's about 55 feet across and 100 feet deep. And the walls are clay and brick. And it's topped by a flat asphalt roof and parapet. And the building has a full basement. The applicant has done a wonderful job of digging into the history and finding all the photos and stories on the owners. So we have lots of information to attach to this application. Some of the interesting parts about the building, the two owners were both very active in business and civics in the city. And the building itself is one of the last kind of cast iron remnants that we have in the city. And it's interesting in the fact that the company who made the elements, the Nesker Company, Architectural Ironworks, actually used this building on their 1904 catalog. So they have that on their resume as well. In terms of the required elements, staff did find that the structures had the integrity of design, materials, and feeling, and association with Vancouver's history. There have been major alterations that have occurred over time with this building. I think the applicant has, in this case, preserved those remaining elements as best could be done. Of course, this had the two bay windows at one point that had been removed, and the applicant actually went as far as having those bay windows recreated, but two of the windows are still original. The structure, of course, is more than 50 years old, and with the history that the applicant has provided on Mr. Engelman and Mr. Sparks, staff finds that it definitely is associated with the lives and persons in local history. And I think that is pretty much it. And we are recommending that the commission list this building on the Clark County Heritage Register. One of the items that we used to do in our walk-arounds on the buildings, I didn't have you guys with me last night, what I distributed were contributing elements for the site. And typically, I would go through the site and discuss with the commission members as we went through what would be considered contributing elements. So we may want to look at this exhibit during your discussion piece and talk about what you may think we may have missed, or any elements that you think may not be as essential as contributing items. That's all I have on this building.
Well, we were given a pretty extensive preview of the nominations in the last meeting, and I think we spent quite a bit of time looking at various images, the nominations themselves, and had quite a number of questions at that time. As I was looking at the manuscripts today ahead of this meeting, I think that they are much improved, and I think that worked really well for the process in terms of giving us an opportunity to provide some preliminary feedback and seeing that some of that got worked into the nomination, I think is really good. I don't have any specific questions about this nomination at this point.
I just have one. It talks about the third wall of the building. Where is that? I never understood that before. It says, from Metzger's 1903 catalog, Sparks and Engelman selected various elements to build the third wall of the building. I'm just curious.
I can give you a copy now. The way they refer to that back in those days was the back wall wasn't considered. So you had two side walls, because that was normally what you'd see. And then the third wall is the front wall. And when you bought a facade from them, they referred to it as a third wall. So anything that would be, whether it was pressing from the
wood. That makes sense with the way it's written.
Yeah.
Brian, were there conditions of approval in your staff report?
Those are the standard requirements that are in the ordinance itself. Any alterations need to come back before the commission. They are listed on page 3 and of the staff report, and they're outlined in bold.
Those you are considering conditions for the permit?
They will be ongoing conditions that will be applied because of the nomination.
Right. So the way I approach conditions is if it isn't actually specified in these codes, then we would condition it. Or if there's something about the nomination that we felt needed to be corrected, then I'd condition it. So that's why I was wondering if there was some special conditions. Since it was mentioned,
okay, that was just highlighting.
I might have missed something.
No, nothing special. Just highlighting the standard conditions for the applicant, so they are fully aware of the effects of the nomination.
Their responsibilities.
One more question. You had mentioned that you were going to do some sort of a fund that would take care of these buildings' needs in perpetuity.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work? And is that a 503? I see. What is it? How is that structured? And how much would be an idea in that?
It is a 501c3. Yeah.
I always think that wrong.
Yeah. There's some numbers that are pretty close to that.
Yeah.
But it is basically a nonprofit. So, and it's just being funded personally. So we don't have any outside source of funds. So we're putting our own funds into it. So then that'll be put into an endowment, and our goal is to have it infinite.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have enough funds in there that it would be able to take care of the repairs and maintenance on the buildings for forever.
Are we just trying to get a grasp? Are we talking about like $100,000, $1 million?
Well, right now we're up to about $700,000. So I figured 5 more years of funding it, we'll probably have maybe, I don't know, $1.5 million, maybe $2 million. Like that.
Thank you.
Do you guys have any more questions for Brian? Okay.
No.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and Dean or Mark, if you would like to present anything else or say anything else, this is your opportunity.
Now, after the next one, I think I'd probably conclude with the two, combine the two that I had something to say about, but not right now.
Yeah, specifically I think I generally laid out our goal, and that is to preserve the building. So we want to keep these buildings, and I think that's the main process. This is just one more layer that helps, and I'm going to put as many layers in place so in case something happens to myself and my wife that everything is in place, that we're gone, to fund them and take care of them and let them last. A lot of, I guess my opinion is, the city center is a very important part of the history, so close to right where we are. We have Officers Row, which is an awesome property, and we want to follow in the footsteps of that with as many buildings as we can in the city center, which is where we concentrate. The buildings that we'll be bringing forward, I think almost all of them will be in the city center. So we can keep some of the history there. So I think that's the main goal behind getting these on the register. And there's some awesome, I mean, you can kind of see some of the stories. Mm-hmm. And there is some just amazing history of the people. And without the architecture is one thing, the buildings are one thing, but without the people, the buildings would never happen. And just even in my time with this particular building, I think it was around 1995 we started with this building. Just the history of things that have happened since then, and, you know, it's just amazing. The different tenants that have come there, their different business plans, how it's affected their family, how it's affected the community, and really those are the fascinating things. First, it takes somebody with the motivation and maybe the money and the vision to build a building. Second, it takes somebody, and these buildings have been around for quite a while, it takes somebody to keep them intact. And during that process, it's you know, that theory of if the walls could talk, it would be amazing. And a lot, there is quite a bit of history. This one in particular, we just saw the last of the Sparks family go out of business. So this has been 165 years of business, and their start was here. So there's a lot of things that have happened in between, quite a bit of history with it. And our other plan on as many as we can afford to fund, we want to do the historic videos and then get those to the Clark County Historic Museum. So when people come to visit Vancouver, if you have friends that come here now to visit and you go there and you want to take something home to talk about where you were or see what you saw and take it with you, we'd like to have CDs or something available about the histories of these buildings as we can afford to do that. So that people can take it with them and share it with other people. Hopefully that'll bring Vancouver out a little bit more.
It's a great idea, especially with this cinematography kind of history on this building.
Yeah, it's just...
silent movies. Yeah.
I don't know if you know, Chuck Koronis has been in town for a long time. He leased this building. There was a little bit of history in there, and he found a... And I got to view it, and we haven't got any photos of it yet. But I asked him if we could take photos, and maybe he would donate it to the museum. But it's a canvas sign that has some of one of the original movies that was played at the theater. And he found it in the closet when he leased the building back in the 60s, and unrolled it. And it's pretty frail, but it's just awesome because it was one of the first movies on film, which was. And there was a whole wave of this, and I think we've all seen this in our lifetime when Regal Cinemas came in and they popped theaters everywhere. This was very much a precursor when film became to be the first thing, and there was a big push for theaters in downtown Vancouver. It had several of those, and which most of them are gone. You know, the Broadway is gone, the Castle is gone. Thank goodness for the Kagan's on that cool.
Yeah.
That is so awesome that it's still here. And a lot of people don't know that this was one of the original live theaters for film in the area. So, and these two guys, I know we don't have time to go into all of this, but it is a lot of fun to find out about it. Sparks and Engelman. Craig is a descendant who is the one that just passed on their building. They sold the one that was a furniture store, and then the other. There's an Engelman that lives on the other end of Officers Row, the other guy. So a descendant of that family lives right down here on Reserve. And they all have connections to, obviously, to this building through their families. So it's pretty sharp. Yeah. It's very cool.
Yeah, again, at the last meeting, we got a pretty extensive presentation on the buildings themselves. So I'd like to reiterate that for the record. We're kind of blending in the presentation by the applicant with the questions of the applicant. Do we have any more questions today?
I don't have any more today.
You're welcome.
It's very interesting.
This one really has my curiosity piqued.
Yeah, it'll be fun. We can do it anytime. Be happy to do it. And it does have the architectural features that are just, which I think we probably covered these, but the awesome ones are the cast iron parts that are still left there. And, you know, the general structure with the bay windows and inside the building, some of the original, well, all the original brick is there. Some of it's covered, some of it's uncovered because we exposed some of it. And in the second floor was a billiard hall, and all that is still intact, all the original wood flooring and the brick and ceiling heights and all that stuff is there. So there are some fun things. And the entryway to the second floor has original Vancouver block tile, and I think that was, I took some pictures of that yesterday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So some of the things are still in place, which gives it the flavor. And I think you can derive a lot of history from that, and obviously there have been some things that have been changed, but with the pictures, Mark's done a lot of research on it, with the pictures he's been on, he can kind of stair step into exactly what's happened. If you look at the general look of the building, it still looks pretty much like the same building, with the exception of the top cornice, which we hope to re-release that, actually, and put that back.
Wonderful. At this point, I'd like to open it up to any public comments.
Have you talked to the Clark County Historical Museum at all?
Yes, in fact, we're working with them. Brad and Mark have spent a lot of time together on the research of the right, a lot of the information. And and we're big supporters of the Clark County Historic Museum, which
yeah.
I guess you could imagine.
Yeah.
We like the
great
museum.
Everybody connect together, and maybe we could do a tour of the properties, and that could be a fundraiser for them. I think people love to see inside of these buildings. I know I do.
Yeah.
And so it's great. I'm happy to connect you with them. You're just doing amazing things.
If we do another tour, if you give me your number, I'll make sure we connect.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I always like a tour.
Thank you. If there's no more public comment, then I'll go ahead and close the hearing and ask the commission members. First, let it be noted that Brock Manley has still not arrived. But we do have a quorum, so I'll ask the commission to deliberate, and I'll hear a motion when you're ready.
Well, I move to approve this listing to our County Historic Preservation Register, and that's it.
A second motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. It's unanimous.
All right.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you for the presentation.
You're welcome.
All right. And we're not finished yet. We've got two of these. So we'll now take a look at the Vancouver Federal Savings and Loan Association building. And prior to beginning this hearing, I'll ask the commission members to announce any ex parte contacts or conflicts of interest with regard to this nomination.
I don't
know. No conflicts of interest are noted, so I will open the public hearing and
go with the staff report.
Okay, we're walking up Main Street just a couple of blocks. The First Federal Savings and Loan of Vancouver was built right in around 1929-1930. And again, the applicant has done a wonderful job putting together the histories and information that is attached to this nomination. Staff found that the building did have integrity of location, design, materials, American Association of Local History. It's at least 50 years old in age. It is associated with the history and cultural heritage of Vancouver, and it meets the criteria at DMC 1739070. So on our tour of this building, some of the interesting things that this building is on the some of the interior. This building was intended to be several stories taller, and if you look at the contributing elements packet that I have for this one, I think it's on the back page. It shows one of the columns in the basement, and these columns for this little small building are massive. And when you're inside, these columns are about 3 feet by 3 feet. And some of these are octagonal or hexagonal, I believe. Just the sheer massiveness of those, and they have the concrete beams going across the ceiling that are just huge. So it's kind of interesting that this little small building has those. The applicant talks about all the tons of reinforcing steel and concrete that was used because this is going to be a bank. In the basement, it actually still has the original vault door from the San Francisco company. It was distributed out of Portland. That's about 18 inches. The doorway is about 18 inches thick. And the steel plate on that is a little bit larger than a quarter inch thick. So let's see here. On the exterior of the building, again, the building has been through, I think, two areas or time periods where they did urban renewal and worked on the frontages. On the west elevation, the arcade used to come all the way down. That has been removed. On the second story, however, we still have the arcade elements. We still have the windows on either side of the arcade on the second floor, the design elements above the window, and then also the original tile work in the entablature element up top. And on the south side, on the second story, we still have that tile entablature intact along the top. I believe all the windows on the second story are original, as well as the design work above those windows. And then I believe it's just the window near the corner of the intersection there on the first floor is original. And I don't believe that the windows below the arcade windows are original there. So again, we saw most of this during our workshop, and staff feels that the applicant has met the criteria for nomination. We're recommending nomination, again, subject to the standard conditions in the ordinance.
So there was a second story arcade? Was it on the one side?
There is one on the west elevation, the main entry.
Right.
And then the south elevation.
Oh.
Just the arcaded
right.
Windows.
Okay, that's right.
And there's a picture in the elements packet that I can go.
I thought there was one on the north side.
I would echo my earlier comments that I think you did a good job of working with the applicant to incorporate some of our feedback from the prior meeting. And again, I think this is a much improved document from what we have been. So I don't have any questions of staff.
I don't have any questions.
At this time, we'll move on to a presentation by the applicant. Again, we had a pretty extensive presentation last time, but any words you might have to summarize this nomination and punctuate all the great work that you've done?
Well, this this building equally has some pretty fascinating things. It was the first federal savings and loan in the area. And there was, again, there was amazing people tied to that. And some of the descendants are still, family members still around, of course. And it's been through, it had a pretty massive remodel in the 60s. And it was, when we got the building, it was vacant, but it had that 60s remodel done to it. And they completely, if you look at the, I think there's some pictures of the original, or I should say the remodeled building. On the second floor of the building, they completely covered every window in the entire building. So all those arch windows were completely wrapped in, inside an exterior wall and an interior wall. We didn't know that any of those were there. So the reason the building was empty, I think, is because the offices on the second floor, which originally had all kinds of daylight into them, had none, absolutely none. So when we purchased the building, we got the building from actually quite a famous developer in my mind in our area, which was, it was owned by George Killian. So we bought the building from him, and Dr. Rich was the one that paid all the money to have this 1960s look put on the building. And in the drawings, in the line drawings, it actually looked pretty awesome, pretty modern, pretty cool. But as time went on, it became to look, you know, extremely dated, and they made it unserviceable by covering all the glass. Even though at that time, I was trying to actually lease the second floor to somebody, and they said, we've got to have windows. So I said, well, you know, we're going to have to, like, cut holes in the wall. I had no idea what was underneath it. I never saw any of the historic pictures. So I took a metal rod, and I said, well, let's just see how thick they are. So I took a hammer and a rod and popped it through the sheetrock. And when I got in there a little ways, I heard crashing glass. And I punched a hole through one of those arched windows. So then we decided, well, maybe we should take a little closer look. So we took a knife, opened up the inside of the building just a little bit, looked in there, and there were all those awesome big curved arched windows. And they're about, they're around 6 feet. And they're at floor level. When you walk into the room, it feels kind of strange, but they ran and clear down to the floor, and they run up about 6 feet high. So anyway, hence that started the process of peeling all the exterior and the interior out and got back to most of what you see there today. So, but Dr., the guy that was there, Dr. Rich, that spent all the money, was pretty famous. He was in the, was in the very early stages of inventing contact lenses. And they did the grinding and the cutting when contact lenses were all glass and you couldn't get the flexible ones down in the basement of that building. And so that went on for years and years, and then he sold out Rick, oh gosh, his name slipped me. He has a, Rick and Cindy, I'll think of it here maybe. Anyway, they have a studio, an optometry place here still in Vancouver, and then one in Camas. And so he's been at it for years. He bought equipment and stuff from Dr. Rich, and then he's closed the business. So then the building, the Killians bought it, and it sat empty, and then we came in after that. So there was some pretty interesting people tied in between there. The lower level, of the, what you would call the basement, was a restaurant. And in fact, both these buildings, the previous building and this one, both had restaurants in the basement in their history. So, but the structure is awesome. If you ever, if we ever have an earthquake and things are shaking, I told the restaurateur last night, Larry, he's the guy that runs Rosemary's Cafe, I said, we're coming here because it's all, there's no wood in the building except trim work. All the structure is concrete and steel. And most of it's all actually concrete, I should have said, concrete and rebar. So it is well built, and there's a bank vault, which would be very nice to be in. The 18-inch thick wall. So anyway, it's a, and they did, I think, I'm sure in the information here, somewhere. One other important factor was the building was built in the Depression, and it was built to go six stories high. And when you go up in the crawl space in the attic, the rebar is still sticking out of the roof, and then they capped it all over. So these massive columns in there, which seem crazy when you go to the building because they take up so much room, I thought, why would they do this? Well, then we discovered, of course, through checking out the history, that that's why they were so big, because they planned to put another five floors on, or four floors, I guess.
Why didn't they, do you know?
I think it was 1929, and they were out of money, and they just started new. And actually, one of the main guys was Atkinson.
He died the day before it opened.
Yeah, before they opened. The guy passed away. They had the dream and the vision. So an awesomely structured building. I'm sure it's not going anywhere. It's like a serious boat anchor on that corner. And it is quite small. It's only 50 feet by 50 feet. It's not a very big property. It seemed unusual if they'd want to go six floors with a little piece of property like that. But that was their plan, which never did happen. But it's got some real nice architectural features. And again, it's really about the combination of the features and the people. There's some really nice history behind it, too, as far as the people. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
It says that there were original skylights on the second floor, original to 1929.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd like to hear about that.
Yeah, they are actually still there. From the inside, you can't see the... They use a wire mesh safety glass.
Yeah,
so on the top, all of that's there. And they screen in the 60s. They screen them off from the inside, so the light still comes through, but it's like they're filtered. You don't really look up and see the wire mesh. But they are still all in place, yeah. So
they have clear glass?
It had a little bit of texture to it, so it wasn't... And there's probably a term for that. It has striations in it.
Float glass, probably.
Float glass. Okay, I didn't know the right term, but yeah, it's all float glass with it appears. I would call it chicken wire, but it's a little hexagon wire that's embedded in between two layers of the glass.
They generally don't make float glass anymore, so that's quite fun.
Yeah, and it helps. It definitely helps the space, because two sides of the building there are absolutely no windows. And two sides have quite a bit of glass. So from the back part of the building, if you're inside, those skylights really help to create some light in the daytime, so you don't have to really turn on any lights.
So. Thank you. Any additional questions for the applicant? Okay. Any public comment on this nomination?
I just want to know all the properties you're involved in. It's just great history. I mean, you know, this is going to be great for Vancouver. I'm all about people learning more about Vancouver, so I'm just happy I got to meet you.
Thank you. Yeah, and Mark has been pouring through everything possible. I've learned so much from the research that he's done that I didn't know before, which has been fascinating. So there is a lot that... We'd be here for 2 days talking about it. We're hoping to take and encapsulate, you know, the really important features and timetable that happened in the buildings with the people that we can connect to it. So over time, and then again, we'd like to get into some kind of a disc or something that people can get to.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, so there's no more public comment at this time. Then we'll go ahead and close the hearing. And I'll allow the commission to deliberate and make a motion. Also, note the fact that Rock Hanley is still not arrived, so it will just be the three of us deliberating on this nomination for the Clark County Heritage Register.
I'm ready to make a motion.
I'm ready to second one.
Okay.
You want to celebrate anything?
Yeah, I've done my deliberations for the day.
I move to approve this listing on the Clark County Heritage Register.
I second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Congratulations. Well, thank you. Property is now on the Clark County Heritage Register.
Awesome.
Take care.
Still got yours.
Yeah.
Be looking forward to that.
Absolutely.
I don't think it's exciting.
It's the right time to ask the question, but we'd like to be prepared. And so this is our first process, my first personal process to get this far. But we've got two other properties that we can get on the agenda for next month. Our first step, would we do the same thing we did before, come and do a preliminary presentation and then come back and do another one? Or how
you don't have to. There's no rule that says that you need to. Okay. What it does is it gives us an opportunity to provide you feedback in terms of what you might want to see, so that if we did come in and have a public hearing before we had a chance to look at it. Of course, staff does a really good job of vetting these things and working with you, but we don't necessarily get a chance to look at it and provide some feedback. So I think it's helpful when you do that, but it's not required.
Okay. Well,
yeah, and to Shell's point, it's enjoyable. We like learning about these properties.
Sure.
Because then we can tell other people to do that.
And it also, just nothing, as you can see, we ran into this last meeting. We don't have that much time within our meetings. So sometimes we can break it up, to have all of the questions and answers and then go through the formal hearing process. It really kind of presses us for time. So
I hear you. Okay. So we can have everything ready to present, review it like we did before, and then we can come back the next time
Actually, you'll be submitting that to me.
Right.
And then I'll go through and do the staff report again, and then we'll set up the meeting with the finish.
Perfect. Thank you.
Well, then I want to do the same thing. So let me ask you, from your guys' point of view, then, what would your thoughts be then on promoting to other business owners, other land and property owners to be working? You guys up for that? Do you want to start meeting today with looking at the thoughts of this?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I wanted to get from your points of view.
Part of our mission, part of our stated mission, to promote historic preservation within the county. And we have a pretty small budget to do everything that we need to do within a year to get that done. So the more that we have word of mouth, that the community sort of reaching out to other members of the community and spreading the word and letting everyone know that we're such a great commission to work with, it just helps.
Well, so I am, and then Jeremiah, obviously you guys get to reap the benefits of having presented to you, hopefully in a nice fashion. But working with John and Brian so far has been a real education for me, and it seems like it's a functioning process. Unfortunately, I haven't got to work with Jackie yet, but I'm looking forward to that day. But
outside the city limits.
Yeah.
But and so my point being that since the process is now, we really want to go forward with this, and Brian's been helpful in directing us, and we'll make sure that we're directing it towards you in a pleasant and pleasing way, though, that is accommodating, because I would love to be pushing these to other people too.
Can I make a suggestion? Mm-hmm. My son's in the IB program at Columbia River, and part of their required is every month they have to do a cultural event, and every month he's out there scouting, and I always want to make him feed homeless people, and he refuses, but this would be a wonderful thing to bring in a small group of high school kids and give them a tour of maybe just these two buildings or however you see fit. Because they could write about it for their requirement. They're always looking for state. They usually go to Portland and do different things, but they're encouraged to do stuff that's local. And this would also be unusual because nobody's doing it. And that's always been part of my role, is to get younger people involved in historic preservation. Because it's important that the younger generation has a passion for preservation. So I think that would really be successful, and I'm very sure knowing the teachers would support this. It would have to be done outside of school hours, and there'd have to be some crowding, but it would work, and it would be very educational for the next generation.
Well, I'm all for that. I'm constantly promoting that. And Brad over at the Historic Museum and the folks down here at the Fort, they're really all over the inclusion of educating the schools from all levels. So I'm all for that. And again, whatever means that you have, whether you go through Brian or Jackie or whoever, you guys can always come directly through Dean and I for anything. It doesn't have to be that considered a process that's going through a bureaucratical thing. They just call us and we say, yeah, come on. And that gets back to the last thing I wanted to ask is, and Brian, this will be for you too. Tom Voigt was here last time, the reporter, and he called and was very interested. He called up and said, hey, after that meeting, I went down and started looking at properties. He goes, I've lived here, I've walked by, but I've never looked up, and he came back and said, I want to do something about it. And my suggestion was, you know, yeah, you can do a little piece on the building or whatever. They're cool, but I said, what about doing a piece on the whole preservation process and maybe get some more people through his writings to say, I want to do the same thing. Now, I didn't push that yet because, again, I don't know how much you guys can handle, and I'm not being facetious when I say that. It's a lot of work, I assume, and I don't know how you guys are staffed and all that. But I can kind of see that if he does a nice piece and he kind of gets into the crux of what you do, he may end up writing a really wonderful promotional piece for the historical preservation and everything. So I didn't know what your guys' thoughts were. I didn't want to say anything to him until after I talked to you guys also. So that's another potential thing that can happen.
Keep talking to everyone. That's our feelings, I think.
Really?
Yeah, okay,
right.
Everyone.
Yeah. So they may end up calling you guys.
And just so you all know, we're working on a mobile app that's going to come out hopefully in September. So it's going to have all the historic sites that are on the register and anything else that we add. So all the registers, the National Register, the State Register, and the Local Register. And so we're working on the development of it, but it's going to have these buildings on it. We're hoping to have, you know, in the cities, the smaller cities, Vancouver, walking tours where people can, you know, map it out. It'll, you know, show you where you are and show you what historic sites are in your vicinity, and it'll, you know, we might even have like a pop-up, like if you're walking around, you get a pop-up like there's a historic site, you know, just, you know, right there. So that's going to be, I think, another, that's kind of one of our big outreach tools that we hope that will encourage property owners to list or nominate their properties. So yes, I think that's our goal. We want to, you know, protect as many buildings that are, and sites that we can. So.
No, it's September.
That's what we're slated for. So,
well, software, you know.
Yeah. Yes.
You know how that goes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but stay tuned, and you know, we'll that'll be another helpful way of getting people to learn about these buildings, and especially the younger generation, right, that uses those especially.
I used to be the preservation writer for the Oregonian, and so I've done a number of stories of older buildings, and it worked really well to do a series. And what I mean by that is, like we did the Simon Denson house and a few other houses, and so you show kind of what the house was before any development or rehab, and then you did another story kind of, you know, into the history, who built it, how it was built, and then you do another story later that says this is what we did. And that really gets people interested, because then groups of people start teasing about preservation, which is what happens several times. So you might, I don't think the Columbia would pass preservation either, not that I would
not know, saying, yeah.
But that might be the way to do it, because it's usually a series sort of before and after, and then that way people can kind of follow it.
Okay.
The bottom line is we'll take all the publicity out of it.
Okay.
Just so you guys know, the next meeting they have three public hearings on already, so you're welcome to come and do the work session. But
we've changed the work session to the end, just so you know, so that.
Oh, this is going to be all about us.
Just saying.
Okay. So we have, I have a goal I'm going to do 9 more of these before September.
Okay.
We're going to push forward and get these all done by September.
Brian and Don are like, oh.
And I didn't understand, so that's why I was asking the question. I really didn't understand how long it was going to take to get to this point. And so I don't want to sidestep anything we should be doing, because last time I actually thought we were done. Right? Oh. So this is how green I am. I have no idea what's going on. So when we came last time, and then they said, well, we got to do this or that. And I thought, well, we've already been there. Right? So anyway, we might. So that's why I asked the question today. Could we bring 2 more next month?
Mm-hmm.
And realizing we also have to, Brian's got a lot of work to do on them too, so we try to get everything to him way in advance. But the learning process so far, we've been at this like 4 months.
September what?
Doing a great job.
Yeah, this year. Yeah.
No, I mean September what? Because I think there's only like 4 meetings between now and then.
So. That was the other thing, because I figured there's probably downtime or summer.
July,
or
we don't
do a meeting in July.
Yeah. So if we know what's realistic, then we'll aim for that. You know, where my aim was to basically, this started back in January, and so it's taken us a little while to kind of figure out what we should be doing because of our experience level.
If we have business, we should probably have a meeting.
Yeah,
in July.
We can schedule a meeting in July if needed.
So we'll just bring 5 or 6 of them right then.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, all you got to keep in mind. What you have to keep in mind is that we have a 30-day review process. So if you're, you know, however you're slating or preparing, just know that, like, let's say you wanted to be on the August, whatever that first Tuesday meeting is, you know, the city would need the nomination entirely by the 30 days before that. Because it is a public hearing, we have to notice it in the paper, and we have to have time to review it and make sure all that. So that's the timeline you just got to keep in mind. And, you know, the work is all about, you know, the big part of the work is the research and putting together the whole nomination packet. So.
Right. Well, we didn't want to go knowing all about, you know, government staffing is the horrid. And so knowing also that, you know, Brian has other things he's doing. So we just thought if it was possible to bring 2 in at a time, that was going to hit our ending date.
Sure.
And we definitely, once we know the timeline, it's on us then to make it happen, to get it in the right place at the right time, and not necessarily knowing it. This has actually kind of been a learning process of 4 months worth of trying to figure out what we could do in 30 days now.
Sure.
So, so if we know what the deadlines are, we'll certainly work toward that. And yeah, we have to do our job first, as they say. So.
Okay.
So if the commission wouldn't be irritated with us, sounds like based on timelines, we might want to try to do the process, not as we did the last, because that's 2 months for every one. If we could bring it in, get everything in advance so you'd have it to review, and then do the discussion and make a decision, whatever it is. Is that going to be horrible?
It's your application. That's the important thing. So,
okay.
And like I said, the time frame for the staff to prepare. So,
right. Okay.
Work session isn't required. So it's for, we just wanted to kind of get a feel because of, you know, some of the changes to the building to see what, you know, the viewpoints were going to be. And otherwise, you know, yes, they can just do all the deliberation and talk it all out at the hearing. And that's, you know, typical. So, but it depends on how you guys feel about it. If you want to come and have a preliminary discussion, we put it on the work session and we can do that. But it would have to come back at a later date for a hearing.
And the agenda can fill up. So
yeah, absolutely.
There's other items that get on there.
Okay. So I just point of clarification, what happens in September to 9 buildings? I mean, why?
That's just a personal goal. I just want to be finished with it by then. Okay. I've been working on it for quite a while, and so we've got a goal to do that so we can have everything set by the end of the year.
Well,
so we'll just do whatever we can, but we want to work with you, obviously.
Yeah. Well, thank you again, gentlemen, and congratulations on cutting your nominations.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Part-time starter.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well done.
Thank you.
We'll see you then next round.
And if you have information on who we could contact, you hit a really hot button with me, and that is get the kids involved.
Okay.
be awesome to have them. If we don't do this, they're not going to pay any attention to the street. And so we have to do things that will get them excited about history. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Okay. Old business and updates.
Okay, we just kind of want to circle back about the C-TRAN BRT.
Did they get the email?
They got the email. Which one?
The one that said that they couldn't be this time, but...
No, they didn't. I figured we'd just let them know what's transpired.
Okay. What's transpired?
So well, the last thing we knew, we had a letter we sent.
We did send a letter.
Okay.
And we got a response from the letter. And the response from the letter was that I suggested that maybe they could meet up with us tonight.
Oh.
And what happened was that no, they couldn't, because the person who was actually doing the design work is from out of California.
So when you say they, you mean C-TRANs or the committee?
C-TRAN.
Or the BRT. Okay.
There is no, the committees have all been disbanded.
Yeah. So oh, it's the okay. staff contract.
It's just the staff at this point. Their committees have all been disbanded except for the architect design person that they have.
Okay.
And what I... we got the email. I didn't bring a copy of it. I thought they'd been forwarded.
Sorry, John.
That's okay. It happens. Either we could meet with them next month if they're available. I don't know what their schedule is. The architects are coming up from California to meet. They suggested that maybe the commission could... There will be some more public input, that they will have open meetings whenever this architect comes up, but they don't have a date for that. And so it's a little bit loose right now, for lack of a better term. But we did send the letter. Chuck Green got back to me that day, wanted to try to figure out how we could get this, you know, close the loop is the way he put it. And then he proceeded to indicate that, you know, the committees that had been put together that have done the background work are no longer. So it's basically staff and the architects at this point. Well, design engineers and that sort of thing.
So the public meeting would be intended to look at all of the whole.
I think it's to look at the whole thing. He didn't give me a really good feel for it. I thought we'd have some more communication, but it just, you know, that's not all his fault. Just sometimes it's hard to get back to things. But they did respond. They seemed concerned. They're looking for an avenue. They actually thought about, you know, is there something they can do in that particular one that would be appropriate, because you don't want to just, you know, I think like Rock said, you don't want to just hang something on what's already there and say, well, that's historic. Yeah, we'll put saloon doors or something going in and out of it, you know. But so I will keep you posted on what more I find on that.
Yeah, and once we get something, if they're able to come during one of your meetings, we'll, you know, get that scheduled. And I was talking to someone in my office about the station, and he reminded me of like some of Portland's transit stations that have incorporated history. Like there's the one where the Van Mall, or was it Vanport?
Vanport.
They incorporated, you know, like the buildings that, you know, were in the part of the flood, and they have like the roof lot, you know, just things that remind people of what was there. And so those kind of things may not be as obtrusive to the design, but still brings in some history. So I'll send you guys some of the things that, so you can kind of maybe start to think about some ideas that maybe we could ask if they come.
Sure.
And, you know, because I think the more that we bring forward, the easier it will be for them to incorporate something.
That's a good point. Maybe we could provide something.
An idea.
Yeah, well, I meant, you know, if we have any... That like a plaque, but something similar to the panels that we've been putting around. Maybe that is something that we just contribute rather than have them change the design.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we add value to their stop history. Something.
But it sounds like the letter was well received, and
the point was taken. They realized the concern. It was for their standpoint. It's way late in the process, and what can be changed at this point, I'm not really sure. I think it's not going to be a complete redesign. Maybe something like what Sarah's talking about would make some sense, some sort of a historical kiosk or something. But we'll just have to see. I'll fly some of these things past for tomorrow.
Okay. Lecture series update. I don't know, Robert, if you had anything.
Yeah, so I sent out an email to everybody Yeah. Been working so much, I'm not sure what I sent and what I didn't send. But, yeah, if I sent out that email, then we have the details. We've got the date. It's going to be June. We have the tour and all of the smaller details around that. I'm going to be getting together with Katie here in the next week or two, I'm supposed to, and just kind of help her brainstorm how to market this and some of my contacts within the architectural community that are very interested in the work. And so, yeah, it's all scheduled. It's moving forward. And I'll have more details forthcoming.
Great. And we'll check in with Alex next month, but I know we had, if Katie still needed maybe another lecture, Alex had the contact for the Kaiser Shipyard, so for later in the year, perhaps. Okay, mobile app update. I met a couple times so far since we met last with the person that's doing the development, and he's showing me some screenshots of what it's looking like. And he will be at your May meeting with something visual for you to look at. It won't be the app to play with, but it'll be screenshots of what it looks like and what you push this is where you get to, and this is what it looks like, and get some feedback on maybe some questions that we have on preferences, on what features and things that you want to see or not see. And we're trying, I might need help with this, I definitely do need help, but we're trying to, as a menu feature, maybe you have it by the city or location if you wanted to just do a quick, like, you know, what historic sites are in Ridgefield, and it comes up and it lists them. But are there other more fun themes or characteristics that can be grouped that someone would be interested from our historic sites? So start thinking about that, like looking, you know, go to the website and look at our you know, all the listings and see if there's themes that kind of stand out to you. Is it, you know, by architect, you know, we have now a few Hillborn buildings. Is it a style? things like that. So that's kind of, you know, brainstorming I'm going to need your all's help with, and to add to that to make it, you know, a little bit more interesting for people that, you know, are looking for that kind of info.
By themes, you mean categories?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like I said, we'll be in May and have something to show you. So he's moving along. He's confident. So it's pretty straightforward. You know, you would pull it up. It'd be a map. The map, you know, showing you where you are and then what's around you. And on the bottom, kind of like this slideshow of the picture of the sites that are in that vicinity, where you could click on and it'll take you to the page that's got the pictures. You can click on that. It'll scroll through whatever other photos we have. A quick synopsis of the site, not too long, and then an opportunity to go to where you can find more information and things like that. So pretty straightforward, and it's looking good.
Great.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to, I don't know where any, if anyone's interested in the Revitalized Washington Conference. I'm not sure if anyone's gotten back to you or...
When is it again?
May 6th through 8th.
Oh, 6th through 8th.
I thought I got back to you, so I couldn't.
Okay. So I just wanted to...
It's later in May.
I'm pretty sure it's the...
Hold on a second. It's May, 6th through 8th.
And it's in Tacoma?
Bellingham.
Right. I might go.
Okay. Well, just let me know.
Yep. Okay. Washougal River Railroad Bridge is executed in final. So I just want to let everyone know that it's done, and we're finished with that. And I got another one sent to me. So,
another bridge?
Yeah. It's not I don't think it's a railroad bridge. It's like in Woodland. So I'll be sharing that to see if you guys want to get involved in the mitigation on that. So, okay, that's all I have on old business and updates. Unless anyone else has something that they want to add to that.
Got a nice article on the interpretive panels.
Yes.
And I've had a couple people that are interested in additional panels contact me.
Cool. Okay.
One of them is for a non-functioning street light in Estershort Park. like, how is that historic?
Oh, the old Shepherd Crook.
Yes. Is that, I mean, I think we should just take it out of there. It doesn't have any power to it. And I'm tired of getting phone calls on why we don't turn it on.
What is it, John? The old Shepherd?
It's an old Shepherd.
Shepherd's Crook.
But it's not that old. I mean, the bulb at least looks.
I don't know when I got here, it was here, but, you know.
Anyway. So people like them and mm-hmm. are making suggestions for additional panels if we decide to ever do that again.
Yeah, and it sounds like the reporter that wrote the story, she's going to check back in once we get the app up and running, and so it looks like we'll get some press again on that. So all good.
Good.
So new business. I met with Jan and John. I just wanted, after last month, we had so many guests that I wanted to bring back up. I had asked a couple of years ago with the other commission, at times when we get a lot of people in here, this room doesn't function as well for a public meeting. And we have the option, if we wanted to move it to another location or any, you know, somewhere. And so I wanted to kind of broach the commission. I know there's only three of you here today, but the idea is just to kind of introduce the idea tonight and let's go into more detail on it, let you think about it and talk about it in full at the May meeting. But the option, or one option, would be, of course, the Public Service Center, where we've had the training from DAP, and I think we've had one meeting there. I don't know if Shell, I think it was before you. We had one commission meeting there. And it's got, you know, it's fully loaded with all the AV potential. And I felt it was, people want to follow along when they're here and see photos. And it might be a good thing to kind of engage our audience that's here when we're reviewing, at least especially the nominations or design review. So, but the con to that, of course, is losing the ambience of being able to be in a historic building, which is very cool, and you don't want to, you know, let that go too. So there's, you know, something to think about. If we went to the Public Service Center, we would have to change the day of the month. The hearing for the Board of County Councilors, they do their one night a month meeting on the second Tuesday. So they're in the room next door, but if they have some big hearing, then that room that we would be in would need to be used. But moving it then gets us out of that July 4th week problem that we have at this. So just, I mean, there's things to think about. We're good with either way, but I just, after the last month, just, you know, being more comfortable might be important too. So I'm just putting it out there. Think about it, and we'll talk about it more in May.
Would there be a way to actually reconfigure this room to make it more usable?
You can move the furniture around.
Yeah, you can do it.
You got to move it back.
Yeah, but it's still, I mean, it's nice to be here. It's a terrible waste of space in the middle.
It is. I mean, we have broken down all the tables and, you know, put them up against the wall and configured the room and the table, chairs. It's just, for me, that's a lot of work.
Get Brian to do it.
To do every meeting and break it down. And, you know, so.
It's just a thought.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's something we can do. If I could get some help with it, that'd be great.
Oh, there's always a guy.
Okay.
So, things to think about.
Is there a building that could be used here that has, have they hooked any? Do they have a better meeting room here?
The Red Cross building, is that?
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, I mean, there's other buildings here. You know, whether they're available every month,
the question. Red Cross building is definitely used for events.
Red Cross building. Yeah. The Artillery Barracks building has meeting space mm-hmm. in it.
How about upstairs at the Grant House? We can sign things on Grant's desk.
Yeah, I mean, it's a functioning restaurant, so.
And a bar.
And a bar, but in that space, we'd have to. I'm sure we'd have to rent that space.
Okay. Well, did you say the artillery?
The artillery barracks has got meeting space.
It's got
two meeting rooms, and yeah, they both have AV.
Okay.
I mean, it's got three meeting rooms. It's, two of them are just big open space that you can set up however you want. It's usually set with rounds.
Mm-hmm.
And then the boardroom, but the boardroom you get this again,
only
a little bigger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, just things to think about.
So, what do you need in this room? I'm trying to understand.
Well, I'd like to be able to utilize this more visually. Okay. Yeah, and This is not my computer. This is not my room. If I've got problems,
we can't do anything.
So at the county's building, I can log in and get access to anything, the website, you know, all kinds of things.
It's all set up.
It's ready.
Be here before you have to show up early and get it all working.
Yeah. So there, I mean, it's just a little bit. Flows better, it's easier to set up and have a public meeting for that type of thing. But, you know, it's not, a lot of times it's just, you know, a few of us in here and it works perfectly. So, but now it looks like we're going to get 2 a month, so.
Yeah, by September.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
No. So, you know, we've been trying to get Dean to list his buildings for years.
Yeah, so let's take advantage of it.
So this is encouraging.
It's a good thing, it's a good thing. Good. So that's that, and I have one other thing under here that I wanted to bring up. I forgot to add it, and it's the Pollock grave from December.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's gonna. I'm coming, bringing it back next month. I finally got the legal or survey description of just the grave area that the property owners are comfortable with. So I'm just going to be, you know, make it official. Put on another public hearing. We're going to revise the nomination with that. Rehear it essentially, and then have it officially listed. But the gentleman's also really passionate. He's been working on another building in the Le Center Library, which was a hospital, and I think it was moved. I think it was more downtown, it's been moved. But Margaret
Coughlin,
yeah, she was instrumental in saving it, and. He's submitted a kind of preliminary nomination packet. It's just not enough. It needs more research. It needs more backup. And we're having a hard time. He's having a hard time. And I've kind of put feelers out trying to find things. But it really needs someone to dig in deep and look. So I know that I wanted to kind of plant the seed whether or not once we go back and do our outreach budget again, if it's something that the commission might be interested in looking into getting it, you know.
Helping them.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
You mentioned he had a listener property.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's trying to get it done, you know, tomorrow because they're having, I think, some kind of event there where he would like to, you know, I think they're acknowledging Margaret, and he wanted to have it also acknowledged on the Heritage Register, but it really, it needs some primary sources that we haven't located yet. They're probably out there. They're just going to take someone that knows where to dig to find it. So
the center has a really active genealogical community.
Yeah, so that might be a good source. So that's that. And that's all I have. Anyone else?
So yeah. In the Pollard Grave's coming in May.
Pollard Grave's coming in May.
Lukey coming in May, and
The Poor Farm, the Heritage Farm, they got a grant for some parking on the west side of the building. It's a field that I think they've been parking just on the field, but they've mm-hmm. got some stormwater. Gloria wants to do some cool LID kind of parking lot, but it is a change, and so it'll be
a
hearing.
Something.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 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 So it's all part of the master plan, but it's been listed on the local register, so we need to review it under the commission review process. So that's that one.
So do we have any sort of standards for parking lots?
Well, no. I mean, what you're going to just have to take a look at what the nomination says and the criteria that you have. And
just focus on a building.
Right. But it's also a site. So not that it can't happen. But
yeah, the grave was a site.
Right. Okay. And actually, the farm in the Hazeldell Park is a National Register District. Mm-hmm. It was listed as a district. Because it was encompassed the whole 100 acres, which was both the farm and now the park that's on the back side of it.
At one point, they were going to put another Furstenberg Community Center out there. Is that still going to
happen? I mean, it was part of the master plan that the committee that worked together wanted to see there. It's just all about funding, and you know they're doing the best they can. So, like, this parking area was on the master plan. So it's just as they can get it, they're taking care of things that were on there. So.
Okay, I had one piece of new business or more of an announcement. You might recall that I had asked Katie about admission for the commissioners since we support the museum, and she got that taken care of. So the names of the commissioners are listed at the front desk there when you enter the museum, and you can go for free, with a guest. So if you have children, you can take your children or whatever. So,
cultural experience. Thank you.
Cool. Thank you, Robert.
All right. There's no more additional business. Is there any public comment this evening?
Just taking it all in. are you on the app? Are you going to have, like when I was in Oregon City, I could walk around and I could call this phone number, and then it would talk about the building, and if the person would act, sound like the character, and talk in that first person. Or will we have things like that?
Not at this point.
But it can be added later.
Potentially, yeah. We can add to the app as we go. I mean, we have, probably 90 historic sites, so we'll see how this kind of first phase goes and see what input we get. And, depending on what our funding and what we can do, we're open to suggestions.
And how about having, different schools test it out?
I don't know how our timing is going to be. So we'll see. It's pretty simple app. I'm definitely gonna, as soon as we can get something going, I'm gonna have the commission test it. I'll have you test it, whatever, whoever's interested. But it really is, it's not a complicated, it's very similar to many other apps, so I don't know how much testing we're gonna do before.
Go to the schools and get the word out, hey guys.
Yeah, totally. I think that's what I would like to do. I'll be working on kind of a marketing plan for it. I'm glad that the press is interested because that's a good first step. But even buildings downtown, Dean, I bet he would be interested in maybe having something in the window, this is on the Clark County Historic's my mobile app.
Right.
Click here, scan it, a QR code that gets you and. Different ways, and definitely having materials that will be at the museum or all over in the cities and
Now, the school is a great idea because Skyview has the science, math, technology magnet program, and they're always looking for projects for their seniors. And then the new technology school just opened up right next to the hospital off Mill Plain, and that opened this year. So they are always looking for, I'm assuming, projects. And that's a school just dedicated to technology.
Okay.
Yeah, then you're science or math.
That's not costing you money.
But it's right there, right behind the hospital on that 5-acre parcel.
Okay.
And they've opened for business, and it's really tough to get your kid in. So it's very, lots of bright kids up there.
Sure.
But also Skyview, that would be their science, math, technology teacher. Used to be Gloria Miller. I can't think of who was that, but that would be...
What's the name of the school, the one behind the hospital?
I'll get you.
Henrietta okay. Lacks. Hela High.
Yeah, thank you.
It's a medical arts magnet.
We have a technology one that just opened.
Cool.
Anyway,
or maybe
I'll get you that.
Send out, put brochures at all the different cool businesses, Vancouver Pizza and different things.
Definitely, yeah.
I think, a lot of people aren't going to the museum for what I see. There's not a lot of people going to lectures, so I think the more you guys go out, if you have people at Saturday Market talking about it, we got an app here, I feel like these panels are great because you guys are going out.
Right.
And maybe this spread the word thing will get people then back in.
Definitely.
But, I think that's good. Or maybe, I don't know if there's foster families and different things like that, but how about at-risk kids, getting them involved in something? Because I think if we get those kind of kids involved, then, the kids in the projects and stuff, right, when they get involved in music or dance or something, it helps them get out of it, and then maybe that would be more hands. It still seems like you guys need more people, need more help, and maybe that's something that we can look, and then it helps the community and it helps kids, and we're trying to get the young generation,
definitely
interested and show them how it relates to real life today too. It's not just history. It's, I like to see how it relates next today too, and then the simpler way of life too.
Sure.
And teach them that.
Definitely.
So that's cool.
Maybe we can do an interpretive panel at Turtle Place about, no, I'm serious, as a part of the CTRAN BRT development about the history of CTRAN.
Transit.
It's an old, relatively old transit system.
Yeah, in fact, could go back to the rail cars,
street cars
in that area.
You could go horse. Back to the 1906 stable that we had a few months ago.
Yeah.
And you could reference it.
Good ideas.
Not many stables.
Keep those. Okay.
But even like, are there different style, let's say, train stations and things? Because I know they were saying they want to have a universal thing so people know it's CTRAN, but I feel like it's okay to have, you know, it's fun to go different airports, right? Look different and feel. So I think it's okay if there might be something that says CTRAN, but I think it's okay if it has the flavor of the place to me. Because I like going to different places that have its uniqueness,
definitely.
You know, so I just wonder if.
We'll see. We're hoping that they'll be open for some discussions. So stay tuned.
Cool.
Thank you for those comments. So it's now 7:25.
Okay.
We've completed our agenda, so I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Yeah.
I move that we adjourn the meeting.
I second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much, everybody. We have a work session.
Okay.
On the agenda here.
Yes.
So I guess the question is, do we want to do that? Absent Brock and Alex.
I can't stay. I have children tonight.
Yeah.
The work session? You can't stay. How are we on the artist? Is he?
He'd like to wrap this up and get paid.
So can we do something via email?
Sure.
That's fine.
Can everyone kind of weigh in?
I mean, you don't have to take an official action on this anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
It doesn't need, we're
just
not going to need
a vote.
Just
voting on one of three, right?
We would like to, yeah.
Well, I think he's up to seven now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, if we can communicate by email in next meeting, can we just wrap it up?
Yeah.
Is that reasonable? Do you think that's okay?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he'll.
We can even decide by email. It's not an official vote.
Right.
So if we all say that looks good.
I mean, you probably don't want to officially adopt the logo because then it's really a headache if you want to tweak it.
No, I understand that. But do we want to get everybody together?
Let's see what, let's try by email, and unless we come to some kind of, you know, lock that we need to come together and discuss it at the meeting, we'll do that in May.
Well, that way we have everybody in, but not just three.
Yes, that works.
Right.
Yeah, okay. I asked for Alex's, so I got his in case,
that.
But we didn't know Rock wasn't going to be here, so let's do it this way, and we'll have everyone weigh in.
How many meetings has Rock missed now?
I'm not sure. He was.
Isn't it after three we start to, there's some kind of official.
Was here last month.
Yeah, he was here last month. Yeah, I got to look at
it. It feels like every other meeting.
Yeah, we'll check
it out. Personal Rock, if you're listening to this later. But, you know, it's hard to do.
Sure.
Work.
It's,
I'll take a look at the bylaws.
There's a difference between being an excuse and just not showing up.
Well, that's
Well, that brings the question: what kind of, do you guys use Outlook calendars?
I do.
Do you, like, if I sent a calendar invite, does it? Can you save it onto? Do you use calendars?
Mm-hmm.
I know that Sarah probably does. Okay, well, maybe I'll start doing that, and then it's just on your calendar. And like, because sometimes if you don't do that, you know, especially, I rely on that for sure. So maybe if that might be helpful.
So will it say calendar, so we'll know to open it? Or?
Yeah, it'll say some kind of invite. You'll have to log in, or not log in, but click on it probably if you don't have Outlook. We'll test it. We'll see how it works.
I'll check.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, guys.